We are shows what you know. We'll always watch TV. And if you think we can't, we'll watch more and you'll see. That's why the people of the web believe in Jim from Las Vegas and Jacob from Sweden.
Welcome to Shows What You Know About Game of Thrones. On this week's episode, we're discussing Season 8, Episode 4, The Last of the Starks. An episode that has strong feelings being whipped up all around, I'd say. Jim, how are you today?
I am doing great. I'm just chilling here like a Euron Greyjoy, living my best life, banging the queen, baby on the way. God, maybe even slay the dragon, if you will. So things are going pretty good for me.
Yeah, there's not a lot of dragon slayers around, you know. Not even John could get it done, but you did, Euron. Well done. You truly are the only Marty Stew in this equation, I'd say. My name's Jacob Burrows, by the way, and like I said, we're discussing the fourth episode here. It is written by, no surprise, David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, directed by David Nutter, his last of many Game of Thrones episodes. It aired on May 5th, and the internet went wild! Not as wild as last week, because it's basically what we expected, I'd say, based on last week, but I'd say there's a very vocal contingent of people who are not happy at all about Game of Thrones right now, and I'm wondering, are you part of that contingent, Jim?
I guess, but the thing is, I feel like if people were that disappointed with this episode, it's more so that it's like lingering disappointment from the third episode. I feel like it's Correct. People that thought the third episode was good, and then they tricked themselves into thinking it was good, and then they watch this one, they're like, what? This is not the show I signed up for. I mean, I could be wrong. Honestly, I guess the biggest criticism I could have, it's fairly unmemorable. I mean, and I guess that is rough to be said for, you know, we have two episodes left now, but like one of the final three. I mean, all I can really think about with this episode is that gosh damn Starbucks cup. That's all I remember. You heard about the Starbucks Cup, right, Jacob?
Of course, and I saw it immediately, and I printed it out, and I put it on my wall, and I was furious at my wall for days, and then I calmed down because they digitally removed it, and then I was furious that they would change Game of Thrones after the fact, yeah. Like George Lucas messing with my childhood. What is this voice I'm doing? I don't know, Jim. The Starbucks Cup, I didn't notice it, did you? Be honest.
No, of course not. I didn't notice it like first go round. I mean, it's shout outs to the person that did pick it up. Although, where are you at with this conspiracy theory that potentially they did it on purpose as a product placement, and that's they got all this buzz for Starbucks because of it?
I do not believe in this. Also, the logo is not on the cup, and that's not how that works. I mean, it could be. I see where people are coming from. I see where your head's at. All right, people, but you're all wrong. It's a very easy mistake to make, weirdly enough. But yeah, it is funny. I mean, yes, they were appropriately ribbed for it because it is silly that it went through so many people, as of course it does, and no one picks up on it, and then it's just plainly there. But yeah, they didn't even show the logo, which they would have done if it was a Starbucks cup. So,
although I guess they didn't have to because we're just, and even now, Starbucks, 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 you want Starbucks. You want dragons.
Would they put it in? Did they also intentionally put it in a terrible episode where people would go, "Ah, oh, I need a cup of Joe after this one."
Yeah.
And again, I don't actually think it's that terrible, but I think you know it is the lowest rating on IMDb. You told me, which doesn't mean anything, as we all know.
Yes. Yeah, I did. I saw that in another Game of Thrones rant video. There, you can find them on YouTube. They're everywhere.
Oh, my God. They're a dime a dozen. I mean, who makes these things, Jim? I will be honest. I'm so disappointed in us for not being more mad and not putting our production like behind it. Because if you make a video now about how, you know, the battle was shit, like it didn't make any sense, make that video, get a million views. Make a video about the ballistas, a million views on that, I'm sure, before the week. Up, so we are really fucking up doing a podcast. What are we, the 2007 people?
Yeah, and maybe it's just that I'm such a contrarian that even though I'm not very satisfied with it, I'm kind of like, hey, shut up, everyone. This is Game of Thrones, dude.
Yes. I feel kind of the same way. And again, much like I said last week, maybe at the end of the season, I'll go, oh, all of my like defending this show was for naught, and I shall now join you in the ranks of the endless hordes of people who are upset about this show, and I shall make endless video essays and make so much money. I mean, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but for now, I'm like, hey, it's Game of Thrones. Come on, enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I was kind of hoping that maybe they were going to pull a Night King on Cersei in this episode and just have her be taken out. I guess I said that, I think, our last discussion. And I guess I'm starting to kind of feel bad for poor D&D, Benioff and Weiss here, because they're getting, at least on the internet, they're getting dragged. I do have to remind myself that the internet isn't quite real life. There's obviously very loud voices and very loud hot takes and opinions. Yes. But then also the other side of me is like, well, they do deserve it to an extent. There are definitely some shortcuts and some weird things going on here. But we also need to direct a lot of this at George R.R. Martin, who couldn't get off of his old ass and finish these fucking books. Because the empathy of me, I feel like when they started this show, they're like, all right, well, you know, we'll start it now. It's 2011. I mean, we're not even going to get close to the end of this until at least, like, the second to last book comes up. There's plenty of time for George. And then finally, like, they had to throw their hands up and be like, look, we need to end this. George ain't finishing these fucking books, so we can't be doing Game of Thrones for the next 20 years of our lives. So we got to end it.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they're doing now. We were surprised, or I was, that, you know, the Night King was finished off. The hope based on that was, now we're going to get some classic Game of Thrones shit with some, like, intrigue and stuff like that. And that's exactly what they're doing. I'd say some of it actually works surprisingly well. I'm actually into some of the intrigue and stuff going on here. Some of it not so much. But yeah, that was the impression I got when they killed the Night King, and that is indeed what they are doing. So far, I'm kind of on board with it.
Yeah, yeah. I think the biggest thing is I don't feel like the roots are there for what they're trying to do with Daenerys. And maybe it is just this weird, maybe it is like a red herring, like some setup, then they're going to pull the rug out from beneath us. But I don't feel like the seeds were properly planted for the Mad Queen or whatever they're hinting at. It's more that characters have to, we have to see scenes of characters talking to each other saying like, ooh, Daenerys is kind of weird, don't you think? Yeah, I do think Daenerys is weird. And then I just don't think it's there. Like, yeah, she burned up the Tarleys. We've talked about this a lot, but I don't feel like most of her decisions were that crazy. And again, not even that much different than the first episode when Ned Stark has to chop off a poor scared kid's head because he ran away from the wall or whatever, but he was running away from fucking zombies and children that came back from the dead. So I don't know. Like, I get what they're doing here. And again, maybe this is a misdirect, but I don't feel like it's properly there because we've had to see Daenerys be the hero all this time that we didn't have enough. If there was a little bit more hints at some of her, I guess, Targaryen insanity, I would buy it more. I guess it's arguable that it's there. I don't think there was enough there.
I feel that what they're doing with what you're talking about is tapping into the hatred that a lot of people have for the character of Daenerys.
Okay.
Which is, you know, sad in a way, but a lot of people really hate Daenerys, and it doesn't have a lot to do with her decisions. It has more to do with, I don't know, just being bored with her storyline and for years and years and repeating stuff and her not seeming to, I don't know, it's stuff that, like, just people not liking the actress as well, and a lot of people do not like Daenerys online, at least. And I feel that you're right. They're, like, she is not doing anything crazy, and I'm not I don't want to be a fucking stereotype here, but, like, let me point out the gender bias of everyone going, like, look at this crazy woman. And this has obviously been pointed out lots of times, but I feel it is a genuine thing that if Daenerys was a dude and she was like, let's burn down the fucking keep, we'd be like, fuck yeah! Like, and I don't know exactly what she's done that's so bad, but she is obsessed with the throne, and Jon is not obsessed with the throne, and I feel everyone in the show, thinking specifically of Varys, who's like, maybe we should make Jon the king, is doing it for, like, selfish reasons rather than seeing her as, like, a legitimately bad leader. But then, I don't know. It's hard to say.
Well, and also, like, bringing up burning the Red Keep and Cross is talking about in the chat here, it would seem crazy still if we didn't have Season 7 where everything went wrong because she didn't, like, it's we're at the point where everything's gone wrong, actually both in Season 7 and pretty much this season, that I don't blame her now, where now it's not about, I understand maybe some innocents will die, but, you know, Cersei's not worrying about innocents that will, and I get that's kind of part of being a virtuous hero or whatever it might be, but we're almost at the point where she has no choice. Like, she doesn't have any other options. I mean, as we know in this episode, and we're probably going to be jumping around a bit, but she loses another dragon. And, you know, I'm a little annoyed the way they did the dragon dirty like that. Yeah. And there is a kind of a funny video online. It already got 1 million views in like 3 days. I think it's just titled, like, Daenerys Forgot About Euron's... fleet or whatever the fuck it is, because it's one of the stupid quotes. Again, I was just defending D&D, but in the post show, one of them says, you know, Daenerys kind of forgot about Euron's fleet. And then they have all these clips of previous episodes where she's always like, what are we going to do about the fleet? What about the fleet? And it's like, why'd she forget about the fucking fleet? And also, how did they shoot that arrow from behind a mountain?
Yes, they did do it dirty. That is for sure true.
And I love these dragons. I don't know why. I guess it's just because I have pets, and it's just like reminding me how you have a pet. And I'm like, God damn, why you kill that poor innocent creature like that? Fucking arrows in the throat. But I was still one of the people like holding out hope. We're like, nah, he's gonna come out of the water. He's still alive.
Yeah, just like the other one, just like Viserion did with the chains. Yeah, well, if we're in agreement then that what Daenerys is doing is not mad at all, then perhaps we're actually in a situation where we're dividing into two sides, but the people on both sides actually have motivations that make sense. Maybe that's a thing. That's kind of cool and morally gray and so on. Maybe the show isn't doing, you know, the best job of portraying that necessarily.
Well, and potentially, but, like you were talking about, maybe they are playing with the expectations of men thinking that, you know, women be crazy or whatever, because, you know, we're seeing these Tyrion and Varys have these long discussions about Daenerys's, you know, state of mind and where she might be at. So, I mean, I guess I'm kind of holding out hope. And again, I mean, it's going back to maybe you after last week's episode, when we're discussing last week's episode. You're at least waiting to see where they're going with it before immediately being like, this sucks. Although I also can't blame the people that are like, this sucks, because, you know, some things we've been waiting for and they haven't paid off that well.
Yeah, sure. And speaking of Varys and Tyrion there with their scheming, I was really into that scene. But you also have to remember that these are the two most useless characters in the past 3 or 4 seasons. They're debating who would be a better ruler when nothing they've done has been effectful at all. And they haven't, on multiple occasions, been able to tell where a fleet is going to be. A huge fucking fleet. And they, night like Varys with his... spies and whatnot that he's apparently just lost to the other guy. He has no idea what's going on. He hasn't contributed anything. Tyrion has put forth suggestions, and they've all ended in disaster, every single one. So I, like, while I'm excited about their whole debate, I still don't think, you know, their opinions matter that much. Rasputin in the chat says, it's definitely interesting that Danny has been doing the conquering thing throughout the whole series, and it's presented in a positive light, but now we're supposed to think it's bad. And I heard anecdotally someone say a similar thing about how, you know, it's all well and good when she's over in Essos freeing slaves, but because we're like, yeah, free slaves, of course, these people are evil. But when you arrive in Westeros and your motivation is, I want the throne. Why? Because it's mine. It's my throne. It's a different type of motivation, and I guess that's why people feel differently about it, maybe.
Yeah, I suppose, but it's just like, it's not, I mean, I guess they're not, you know, technically slaves, but I guess we don't have that much of a face of the people in King's Landing. I mean, we know they're poor and shitty, and I think we saw like how Margaery would sometimes go and feed them, and it was like Joffrey's like, oh, what are you doing? This is weird. But we also know Cersei doesn't give a fuck about them, so it's also like, at the very least, we know there is a lesser of two evils. And again, like, if they didn't make Tyrion so shitty, at least the past two seasons, I would believe him more. Like, I can't tell if the show wants us to be like, Tyrion, you don't really quite know what's going on because everything you said has been wrong and your judgment's been clouded. Or if we're supposed to be like, yeah, Tyrion's got a good point. Like, I can't quite tell what they want us to read from some of these scenes, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. So we do have some email feedback that we'll get to, and everyone do keep piping up in the chat as well. We'll include that. But let's go through some of the beats of the episode here, starting with a big old bonfire, because you got to burn the dead. You know, you just got
to. Do we still have to burn the dead?
Yeah, no, we got to burn the dead. It's tradition at this point. We've been doing it. Did get to me when Sansa puts the Winterfell pin on Theon. Yeah. That's a good moment. Sam looking at the guy he basically got killed, less of a good moment. But yeah, they just set fire to all of them, and Jon holds a pretty good speech. He hasn't been doing much, honestly, productive, but holds a nice speech there about how they're the you know, the shield of the realm, or shield of men, you know, the whole Night's Watch thing.
I thought it was a good speech. I thought it was a good scene. We got to see Ghost again. He's like missing part of an ear now, though, from those goddamn Army of the Dead.
Well, this is an issue. I would have killed to have him just pet Ghost, for fuck's sake. And I get it's probably just, you know, a budgetary thing, but I just saw like a meme of someone cutting it together really poorly, and I was like, even if it was animated with this low level of skill, it still would have made me cry. So come on, guys. No, like, you can afford the dragons. Just have him pet the dog.
They basically have gone out on record. The director said it was a CGI budget issue. Which that holds no water. That doesn't make sense, really. Here we go. Since the direwolves are kind of CG creations, we felt it best to keep it as simple as possible, and I think that it played out much more powerful that way. Keeping Ghost off to the side, I thought that played out better. First of all, you're wrong. second of all, you have a bunch of CG trash on this show all the time. And I get, you know, you don't have unlimited money, but feel like you have close to it. I don't feel like if you were like, hey, HBO, actually, we need like an extra 10 grand or whatever the fuck it might be so we can have a quick scene here, because it's clear that this is something everyone's talked about. And I get like they've not been interested in these direwolves basically from the jump, but the fans out there, especially fans with dogs, were like, hell yeah, that's a good little pup. Make sure he's loved before he heads off with Tormund in their buddy cop movie.
Yes. And now, if you're on the live feed at youtube.com/showswhatyouknow, you can see me holding up a white pillow here. And I'm going to put that around the camera. And you'll notice how it's all white. And then you can kind of see my face through. And I'm going like, oh, who's a good boy? And it's like, do that shot. And then fucking cut to the shot from before. Like, do that and have him say something about how we're both a couple of runts making our way in the world. Like, and you got it. You don't have to CG and everything. Get a puppet.
Yeah. Or like, he doesn't even like say anything. You can easily say something.
Like, that's true. He could have done literally
good boy,
anything.
Ghost. Now you live where you belong, belong the wall. That's like, that would have been great. You've been a great, you know, you've been a great ally, Ghost.
Even though you vanished there for a few seasons. Yes, so we get to have a big feast, which is fair. They did just not die, as people keep mentioning. Daenerys decides to honor Gendry by making him Lord of Storm's End, which is nice. Everyone's on board with this. And then, like, Daenerys is still completely excluded from everything going on.
Yeah.
And even Tyrion goes off for a drinking game. I mean, this is a long sequence. It's basically like 30 minutes or more of this whole evening going on. And I basically liked it. I can't think of stuff that stuck out negatively.
I agree. I did like this. And it did feel kind of like for people that always are like, where's my classic Thrones? Because, yeah, Daenerys is making a political move here. I mean, they do spell it out for you. They didn't necessarily have to do that, I feel. I was wondering, was the show hinting that Sansa was sending women to fuck these guys? Or is I the only one that read that?
I missed that.
I'm skipping around a little bit. I'll find the scene in a second. We'll get to it in a minute. We'll talk about this other stuff first. But, yeah, like, Daenerys' move. I mean, they do kind of have some shots where they're trying to show Daenerys as like a crazy woman, right? When it's like zooming in on her eyebrows going up and looking around and seeing how everyone is talking and no one's talking to her.
Yeah, well, it's because everyone, or Tormund especially, is like bigging up Jon Snow, and she is the one who, like, this is she is right about everything she says later, because everyone's like falling over themselves to like make him king, and they don't even know he is the rightful king. So that's kind of getting to her. Maybe a bit over the top, and then Varys is looking at her, looking at that, and everyone's looking at stuff, except Tyrion's just doing a drinking game and saying that Brienne's a virgin, and yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, and that's like a classic. That's the old game he played, right? It was a throwback?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm trying to see, let me see the scene where... And honestly, it's just Tormund doing... Like, I get why Daenerys is reacting the way she is, because Tormund's talking him up, but also, you know... He's best buds with Jon Snow. It's been a long toured relationship between the two. I'm trying to find the scene where, oh yeah, he calls out Brienne being a virgin. That I mean, that was a little mean. Why is he being mean?
Yeah, and as is said in the chat by Cross Cottonwood, it's bizarre that they acted like that was weird, you know, that was a big reveal. And Matthias said the show is putting way too many modern morals into a medieval show now, which is interesting.
Which I think it's fair, but also... It's not our, like, us personally, but it's our fault. It's because they've been called on shit on social media and stuff like that for other things. So I feel like they're kind of under pressure on their end. Although if they really are setting up the two crazy ladies to fight, they're setting themselves up bad, I feel. But then again, we should also, if we're looking at it from the modern point of view, we are looking at two strong women battling it out for the throne. I think they should be at least commended for that.
Yeah, and then Jon's going to end up on the throne at the end anyway. So, yeah.
Here's the scene, and I guess I read it wrong, but it's when, like, Tormund, you know, which I wanted Tormund and Brienne. I'm not this Brienne, Jamie shipper, but when he kind of moves on because the girl comes up and talks to him. But, like, Sansa's watching it in a weird way. Because that girl goes up and then another girl goes up and tries to pick up the Hound and he ain't having it, but it keeps cutting back to Sansa and I'm like, oh, she's trying to fucking get all these soldiers, fucked by these women so she can go in and steal the throne from them.
Okay, I think she's looking at Sandor Clegane, because the scene after she goes up and talks to him and they get to interact about how she used to be a little bird and all of that.
Yeah.
So I think that's what she's doing, waiting to swoop in for that convo.
Very true.
And
going back to modern morals, they got called on this because a lot of people read this as you can't be a strong woman unless you've been through horrible things. I didn't read that from this scene. I get people taking that from it, but I don't think that's what the show's trying to say. I think she's just trying to say, like, I am who I am today because of my journey, and I don't need someone to save me, like something like that. But a lot of people were mad about this scene because they were reading it as, you can only have a character be strong because they get like tortured and raped and come through it alive on the other side.
Yes, and I would agree with you if not for the fact that the decision to have her go through those things felt like the writers doing it rather than the universe doing it was very much like, let's pluck her out. Like, I have issues with the whole story arc in general, but like Littlefinger wanting her to marry Ramsay made no sense. None of that added up at all. It didn't like actually go anywhere. It felt like stepping backwards, and it wasn't in the books, and I can see why they did it, but I can also see why there was a major backlash. So in a way, I would agree with you. I could read the scene that way. It's just that I never thought that was a good decision, and it's kind of like again feels like Sansa justifying the decision of the writers more than anything else, you know?
Well,
So I can see both ways on this.
I would
one.
Say, to be fair on that, though, the character of Sansa Stark up till that point was coming through pretty squeaky clean, in my opinion, for being in enemy lines for like 5 seasons. I mean, I guess they hinted that like Joffrey was kind of torturing her, but like, honestly, in comparison to most characters, in my opinion, not a lot really was happening to her.
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
And but so, I mean, like, they, not they to say did. That means that other shit should happen, but I don't know. I feel like in this world where we are seeing, you know, Theon be tortured for 2 seasons straight, have his dick cut off, and all this crazy shit, like, you know, shit happens.
True, but it's kind of in line with me saying that Tyrion's plan doesn't make sense. Littlefinger basically had a plan there that didn't make any sense. And in the same way, I feel about going north of the wall didn't like add up. It never added up for me for Sansa to go there. It didn't benefit anyone involved. And then we have to assume, well, Littlefinger doesn't know and is actually an idiot, which might be the case. But then I just felt like that was a bad reason for that whole thing to start. I feel like everything, like, the decision to do it necessarily wasn't bad, but how it was set up marred the whole thing for me.
But I thought Littlefinger's plan was to have stakes in the north, because otherwise he didn't have any, like, with the Ramsays in control, he didn't have anything that he could control in the north. I thought there was some logic to what he was trying to do. I think it's, yeah, you're right, like, for someone like Littlefinger not to know the type of person Ramsay Bolton is probably a stretch, but I feel like there was logic to what his plan was.
Okay. I don't feel that way, but I can see what you're saying.
Yeah, but you don't have anything to back yours up, bro. I just backed it up.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I'm on a recent rewatch, not you, my dude.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll do a whole video essay battle off about it, and I'm sure we'll get millions of views, so everyone wins.
And also, just because we're on it, I do want to tie it in, because of common complaint is because the complaint is on this episode and on the Sansa like wedding night episode, is that they cut to Theon's reaction when it happens, and then in this episode they cut to Grey Worm when Missandei gets killed. But also, like, what is your argument? You're just saying, what, do we want to watch the brutal rape scene? Do we not understand, like, we're not just cutting to Theon or cutting to Grey Worm solely to see their point of view. We're also, from their point of view, we're getting like the tragedy of what's happening. Like, are we not understanding this?
Yeah, I don't think that's a big point for people to be making. So I'm with you on that. So Gendry goes and proposes to Arya. We could have told him that wouldn't have worked out, but yeah, Arya lets him down fairly smoothly, I'd say. Repeating on her line from season 1 that that's not her. She's not going to be some lady in a castle. What did you think of this part?
Yeah. It's just, you know, yeah, nice. Another callback, you know, that's not her or that's not me or whatever. But then again, what if her punishment is she has to be a lady for the rest of her life? We'll see. Yeah, I was kind of, it's just completely expected. So I didn't have much reaction to this moment.
Yeah, faceless lady, more like.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, with Arya in general, I've said that the season is likely to end with her becoming a faceless person. And I still think that's likely. It is like they're, I'm jumping now, but we do have scenes of them like, we are the last Starks and we need to do this for the family. And Sansa thinks of the family. And then when she leaves, she's like, I'm not coming back to Winterfell. It's like, oh, so I expect her to go off and be a faceless man. But that kind of goes against the whole thing she's saying about now I'm Arya and all of that. And we're the last Starks. And it's very important that Jon becomes king or whatever.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah, because that's the other thing. Like, again, like, it doesn't really make sense. I mean, I guess we're jumping ahead, but it doesn't fully make sense why Arya and Sansa are still so anti-Daenerys right now. Especially after the battle. And yeah, I understand, like, because I think Sansa even says, like, Arya killed the Night King. But then Jon's like, yeah, because we had this whole fucking army that we wouldn't have had. It's very reminiscent of, like, don't go fight Ramsay. Okay, you know, Sansa, tell me why. Give me one reason. It's like that's it's another kind of put on thing where they're being the Winterfell people that don't accept people from the South. But yeah, I didn't even make the connection. You're absolutely right. Because then after when she's like, oh, I'm never coming back here. Who gives a fuck? Cares about Starks and Winterfell.
Yeah. Because if she was like, now I'm going to be a Stark, then it would make perfect sense. I'm going to marry Gendry. I'm still going to be like a badass. But like, I'm going to be a political force in the South. But no, that's not her. She's going to ride off and assassinate people into the night, I guess. Which is fine, but then how can she show so much, like, interest in what's going on anymore? Ah, she's going to kill Cersei anyway, that's what I assume, so two for two on Kings and Queens for her. She's got a full house soon enough. Anyway, Jaime fucks Brienne, and Brienne fucks Jaime. You felt nothing at this, I assume. You would have preferred a Tormund scene, but a lot of people have been shipping them for a long time. I didn't feel much about it. I assume, you know, people were happy about it, maybe.
I think the reason, the biggest proof, exhibit A, if you will, that this was nothing but fan service is that it makes no sense why he leaves later. Like, he just kind of decides, I need to go. And he has some kind of words of like, you know, I did this for Cersei, you know, I would have killed everyone for Cersei. I threw a kid out a window. It's like, yeah, but I thought that's what, but then you just went north and fought the Army of the Dead and had sex with Brienne. Why are you leaving now? Unless he was just saying, like, I want to be the one to kill her or some shit.
I don't know. It's hard to say what he's going to do. It would be kind of weird if he was only going to be on her side, but I do see it a bit as a drug addict relapsing, so it's kind of okay in my book. Now, it is rushed, obviously, but I can accept that, what with the condensed formats of these episodes, so I'm kind of fine with the whole thing, how it plays out, unlike a lot of people, as far as what I've read online.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess, yeah, if they just had a better reasoning or a better way for it to come together, whether it be like, you know, Brienne has to go with the army and he needs to go with her, but then in the moment he has this relapse or something. It just felt, I don't know, it just felt like, all right, we got the fuck scene in. There you go, everybody. Eat your fucking slop and let's get ready for the finale.
I think I felt that he's going south to kind of just be there, whatever happens, and most likely he will, like, I don't know, sneaker fight his way in and then, like, grab Cersei and he's like, come on, I'll get you out of here. We'll escape to Essos or whatever. And, like, he'll try to do that whole thing because there's something in him that just can't accept that Cersei's going to die, even though he also abandoned her to go fight.
So did the Bronn scene somehow push him to this? Or no, did he do this before that?
The Bronn scene would have been before, and we can get into that one as well if you want.
Well, yeah, because it's mentioned in both emails we got, one from Cross here. What the fuck was that Bronn? This is the email, by the way, not me. What the fuck was that Bronn scene? Why was that in the episode? It's a useless scene. Felt like all three actors were phoning it in, despite them usually being good. And then he also mentions Euron taking on Dragon. We'll get to that in a minute. And then also from Jake's email. Yeah, because he has a long one, but I want to see where... Oh, at the end. Yeah. Also, that scene with Bronn was fucking terrible. I guess Bronn's a crazy idiot now.
Which is a very nice timing or whatever in this email, just because very long paragraphs on other stuff that we'll get into, and then wrapping it up with, also, that scene was fucking terrible, which I would agree with, and I feel vindicated in that I've said that Bronn was done as a character. We didn't really need him anymore after last season, and people were saying, no, 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 just you wait, he's going to kill the Night King, he's going to do this and that, he's going to be the heir to the reigns of Castamere and whatever, and I think not not so much. If this feels like all we're going to get from Braun, maybe until the very end. Maybe he pops up, but either way, I agree. This scene isn't very good. He comes in threatening them, Jaime and Tyrion, who has the correct response of like, where's your drink? And just tells them, Cersei offered me Riverrun. What are you offering me?
Yeah.
And it doesn't make any sense.
I mean,
because...
Well, go ahead. Yep. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, it doesn't make any sense, because if he was going, okay, I'll lead your army if you do this, then it's like, okay, he's here, he's doing something for us, we'll give him Highgarden or whatever. But no, it's actually like, I'm going to go away now, and then I'm going to come back, and as a reward for not murdering you both, you're going to give me Highgarden, which doesn't make sense in the Game of Thrones, because if you don't trust the people around you, you're just going to assassinate them anyway. They're not going to have any motivation to give him Highgarden unless he does something for them.
Well, but I mean, I guess it is what Bronn's character has been, I suppose. It's always been about who's got the highest bid and who's going to pay him the most. And mm-hmm. I mean, maybe we're stupid in the audience because we, you know, want to believe that Bronn's friends with these people when he's not. But you're right, it still doesn't fully wash, but I guess that's kind of the logic behind it. But then I'm just kind of doubling it up with Jaime Lannister's decision in this episode, because this also, I guess, tells him that Cersei does want him dead. Mm. And so does that somehow push him to return to her arms?
I didn't read it that way.
I'm just trying to make sense of it all, I suppose. But... because again, like, I'm already not into Jamie's decision, so I'm just trying to see where this may tie in, if it does at all.
I felt like it didn't. The whole scene felt tacked on to have a scene with these three characters, which is something I've seen other people say in their critique, that it felt like, oh, well, we didn't kill Bronn, so now we got to have a scene with Bronn and these guys. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe what they're doing is setting this up as a final, like, oh, I only am in it for the money, and then he's going to show up and be a good guy at the end anyway, or he shows up and is a bad guy at the end anyway.
Yeah.
But it does feel like it's a completely useless, tacked-on scene that doesn't actually propel Jaime, Tyrion, or Bronn in any particular direction, and that's also why he's never going to get a castle that way, because he doesn't actually have an impact on these characters. He showed up, did nothing, and left.
Yeah, I honestly, in a weird way, I feel like it goes against what Jaime does in the episode by the end. But either way, then we have Daenerys. Well, before that, we have Daenerys. Very reasonable request, Jon Snow, I feel. But, you know, Jon Snow is, I'm Jon Snow, I'm good. And he can't keep his stupid mouth shut, just like last season. When he couldn't just say, like, yeah, don't worry, Cersei, you know, I won't work with Daenerys. I'll remain neutral until this battle's done.
And people have compared it aptly to Ned Stark going to tell Cersei that, you know, he's going to stab her in the back in season one. And that didn't end very well when he went and gave her the chance to run away with the kids before telling Robert. And that made everything blow up in his face. This also feels like, no, I need to tell them. And also I need to tell Daenerys that I'm telling them. And he has to understand that it's going to be... like, I do understand his motivation of having to do it. But then... he should go all the way one way or all the way the other, I feel. He should either go, no, Danny, I'm the king now. Yeah. Or, you know, like, one way or another, because this half stuff is how people get killed.
Yeah.
And it is totally in line with his character, though, I feel, as well. So,
I agree.
Very poor decision from Jon Snow. What a shock.
Yeah, it does make sense if you're, like, I mean, in this world where... what's the Tyrion quote from, like, the pilot of, you know, never forget you're a bastard because the world won't let you, whatever it was. Because, you know, this is finally like, no, I'm not Jon Snow. I'm a fucking Targaryen, bitch. But then again, I don't want to be a king. I just want you to know I'm not a fucking bastard, motherfuckers. Yeah. That would have been true Jon Snow.
I don't think he's a bastard anymore. Technically, I think one of these kings he's run into has definitely tried to make him a Stark, but they just kept Snow because it's cool. It's one of those cool names. So they also have a sort of council where they plan their maneuvers, and they say, okay, we lost half, which I guess, is very convenient and not completely in line with what we saw or what people expected. But yeah, I guess they lost half, and it just so happens we now have like exactly the same amount that Cersei does. And I like they said, oh, we just forgot about the fleet, even though they mention it and put the chips on the table and should maybe look into where the fleet is currently before sailing off and maybe have the dragons look down when you're flying around. We've been over this.
Yeah, and but this kind of is exact shit that I said last week when I said the whole point, we watched 7 seasons of buildup of a Night King in parallel to 7 seasons of buildup of Daenerys and her army just so they could clash and he could wipe out exactly half. He could yes. Thanos her stupid army and it wouldn't be a fucking bloodbath on King's Landing. And again, like it also points now to how they don't have the luxury anymore of being like, we can't just burn the Red Keep. You know, we have our forces. You know, at least before, Tyrion could always argue, we have this extreme army. We could just do a siege, like the whole other plan is sieging and making them starve their way out and turn on Cersei. But we don't have that luxury anymore. Shut the fuck up, Tyrion, you little imp piece of shit.
Right, exactly. Now, I mean, Daenerys does agree to the plan. Oh, and Jon, everyone pitches into a plan. We're going to, like, starve him out and show Cersei show the people that Cersei's not any good and all of that. And she does agree to this and then understandably changes her mind. We do have some quick scenes there as they're leaving of Arya and the Hound on the road again. Road trip part 2. This is where she says she's not coming back. We get Daenerys sending off her dragons.
Well, this is kind of where I felt, I mean, given I guess it's just these two things that are lining up, but I'm like, oh, here's Game of Thrones, you know, paying attention to like when they were at their best, season 4. Let's get Brienne and Jaime together, and let's get fucking Arya and the Hound together. Remember when this show was good? Here we go. Let's do it.
Fair. So we also have Sansa on the ramparts with Tyrion, and she does let the cat out of the bag, just like Daenerys said that she immediately would. Just tells Tyrion to basically rock the boat. That what's her motivation here? Do you think?
I guess it's just because no one can keep their fucking mouth shut, and just that everyone promises not to tell and then they tell everyone. I don't know. It's just, I guess I get it. It's that she still doesn't trust Daenerys, even though I still don't fully get why. But, you know, she's from the north.
Well, she was already on Team Jon being the king, and now, like, Jon does have a better claim to the throne, so she's going to work towards that, I feel, much like Daenerys knew she would.
I get that, but I just feel like, wouldn't you change a little bit after the... Like, I understand we have even the North in general. Shouldn't the North in general now be like, hey, this Daenerys ain't half bad. Dame? Hey, Dame, this Daenerys ain't half a bad chick. Like... We just all fought side by side and fucking saved the world. I mean, I know this was our argument before. It was like, the wall fell. Why are we still worrying about where people are from? And now we're celebrating because we're alive and we defeated the darkest evil that our universe has ever seen. But we're still like, I don't know. She was born south for me, so I don't know if I like her that much.
Yeah. No, it's a fair point, but apparently Sansa is very much is not on board, I guess, because, we're never going to bow to another king or queen again, even though you have dragons and you saved us all. Hey, it was Arya who killed the Night King anyway.
Yeah. We could have done it without you.
Yeah. That's why we just waited until you were here just because we wanted to goad him.
I guess, I'll cut back a little bit because I queued up some of the scene. It does open with her staring at the dragons, so I don't know. I guess they have described the dragons are like a nuclear bomb. Maybe there's that fear as well. Like, okay, you know, she helped us now, but what if when she decides not to help us, we need more leverage because she has all this power? I suppose I'm trying to reason out what the show is telling me here, and I guess that kind of adds up.
Mm-hmm. So on the boats, on the ships. We have our first scene with Tyrion and Varys, where they talk about how, Tyrion tells Varys, who should know this shit, like he should know things ever, but he doesn't. So Tyrion tells him, and they have a chat about how this is going to work out, given that Jon is a war hero. Yeah, he doesn't want the throne, but yeah, people are drawn to him. He has a better claim. Sansa's going to do all sorts of shit, lose him the veil very easily, or her the veil, I should say. They talk about marrying them to solve the problem, which would be an obvious fix. Now, Varys does say that, like, Jon is too weak to, marry Daenerys. Like, he would not be able to do anything if they were both king and queen or whatever. But then he also is like, so Jon should be king because he's the weakest.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it does still feel like if they were married, it would make the most sense because he doesn't want to be king anyways, but he would essentially still be king. But I don't know. I get it.
Well, he'd be the consort or whatever, same thing they have in the UK. Like, they're just because the queen marries someone doesn't give him more power than her, you know? Or I don't know. You threw off your royalist shackles many moons ago, so.
But yeah, but is that what Westeros does, though? This isn't the UK, my dude. This is Westeros.
Well, women can't inherit, first off, so we're kind of off book here. Like, no woman has ever inherited in Westeros, as far as I am aware. So, yeah, that's a thing.
Cersei did.
Well, yes, she is a pioneer, going beyond what's expected. The dragon dies. Not only are these enormous dragon-killing weapons, they will also destroy boats at massive range. Just visually putting us at odds with the final scene where they're right outside the gates. Like, it's such an obvious thing to complain about, but I feel like you done fucked up somewhere here if no one put together, like, this is visual storytelling at its basics, literally a couple of scenes before we see what these things can do, and then you put all your heroes and stuff outside the wall, you got these things trained at them, why wouldn't Cersei just let loose, and why would they be stupid enough to show up there? Why does Tyrion think Cersei gets an eighth chance after all of this? A lot of these smaller issues.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It's, you know, you just have to try to explain it away as some sort of, like, war agreement, peacetime discussion. But again, why would we ever believe that Cersei would stay true to anything like that? We've already seen that, you know, she does whatever the fuck she wants because she also made an agreement to send an army that she never did. So, I don't know.
Blew up the church and that, so...
Yep. I mean, if we go back to the dumb UK, we could talk about how they would march in battle and just march at each other in a straight line. So maybe it's something similar to that.
I suppose. But yeah, no, it doesn't make sense to me. They do get to have another planning session there at the big map table because they're back at Dragonstone, where we spent most of last season. And Varys is still saying, oh, we can't possibly attack the city after all of this, and it's like you said, at this point it's like, well, we can kind of attack the city, like it's not gonna make a huge difference at this point. And yeah, Cersei's bringing in innocence, but like, I don't see anything Daenerys says here as unreasonable. Maybe visually next episode, if we are toasting thousands of civilians, that's when we get to see the consequences, and maybe we'll retroactively see that Varys and co had a point. But either way, that's kind of the plan.
It's just like, I don't know, they could pay lip service. They could make this sound better at the very least to being like, we only have one dragon left and we know they have weapons that can kill dragons. It's not worth the risk of trying to fly our dragon in to burn the city because then we could lose our last, you know, like at least that would make a little bit more sense to me than just being like, we're not. I get the idea. We don't want to kill innocent people. I completely get it, but it just doesn't. In this war, this battle they're in right now where they're losing constantly, it feels like, well, we have to do something.
And more than just losing the dragon, Daenerys just keeps riding Drogon, and, like, if she dies, her whole army is, like, gone. Like, they are only united by her, and obviously she wouldn't have a claim. Like, there wouldn't be anything anymore if she died, but she's gonna ride in there. And, like, yes, like you said, dragons are supposed to be nukes, but I guess we have like an EMP that turns off nukes now, so nukes aren't a thing anymore. Like, we have a counter nuke now, because apparently just one of these can take out a dragon, and they have hundreds of them. And much like the Euron's plan to build me 1,000 ships, apparently no one thought of making crossbows big before in the hundreds of years of dragons sort of, basically ruling the land and deciding who could be king. No one really thought of that one previously. I think we're supposed to think that, you know, this evil maester is like an evil genius, but and he did bring the mountain back to life in that, but I don't feel that they've emphasized enough what a technological leap this apparently is, given the effect that it has, even if the dragon that it took down was already injured.
Yeah, no, I agree. Absolutely. So yeah, there's more battle talk, and then I think we already discussed this, like, Varys and Tyrion discussion about maybe, you know, siding with Jon Snow.
This kind of gave me chills, despite everything. Like, I really like the second scene of them discussing stuff and, like, going toe-to-toe. And then, thing is, I don't believe in their abilities anymore, so whoever they side with, it's not going to matter that much. But it still gave me, like, nostalgic feelings of, like, oh, we have the king and queen, but now the advisors behind the scenes, they're the ones actually making stuff happen. And I got that feeling again.
Yeah. And so then, is it like... Well, because, again, I'm kind of skimming through... So, yeah, Jaime gets the news here that I guess, you know, Cersei kind of got a one-up on everyone. So is it this is he holding on to this hope that maybe Cersei could win? Is that what's got him going back to Cersei? Is he planning on killing her? Is that the plan with Arya's face?
That's a good question. I mean, Sansa's like, I always wanted to be there when they execute your sister or whatever, and then we get to see him look all distraught, and I really do think he's gonna go, like, let's run away to Barbados or something. And obviously that's not gonna work, and maybe he will end up killing her, but I don't know. It's hard to say what we're supposed to think that he's doing. Next episode is likely to be a big battle, I would assume, based on everything. So what part is Jaime gonna play, do you think?
It's hard to say. I mean, the common theory was always that he's gonna kill her. I guess we'll see. One thing I do want to bring up, have you heard the dragon egg theory on Reddit?
I've not. I'm sure it's I an will
old,
love it.
It's an old theory, but it's back, and it's badder than ever. Well, I mean, but bad as in, like, good. I don't mean bad. Well, read from it what you will. Read whichever bad you want from it. The theory says that in the fifth season, when Drogon spends almost a whole season gone, he's actually laying eggs, and he's in fact a female. That's why he was burning fields full of sheep, goats, etc., to feed the baby dragons. He's the only one who disappeared. And the only one who drove herds and took them all like roasted sheep. What made this person rethink the theory is that he saw in the episode 5 promo, Euron Greyjoy looks up at the sky and hears a roar. He hears a grunt that's very different and gets scared. Since he's seen dragons for a long time, he wouldn't be scared of just a dragon. But what if there are more dragons? Now, if we go to the
books, does this have?
If we go to the books, 2,549.
Fuck it, Al.
Septon Barth believed that dragons had no sex defined, meaning that they could change sex if needed. Meister Aemon also agreed with Barth, reminding that Barth spent a lot of time studying dragons since he was the right hand of King Jaehaerys I. That is, if someone in Westeros knew about dragons, it was him, Septon Barth. There's another theory that's more acceptable, which is that there's no way of knowing the sex of a dragon, only if it laid eggs. The Targaryen family, there was a dragon named Vermax, and everyone thought that he was a male because of his name, but then one day he laid eggs. But how could he have laid eggs without having sex? There's a thing called parthenogenesis, which is an action originated from an egg without fertilization. For example, Komodo dragons, when they are female, can reproduce without the male.
Yep.
What do you think?
Is that... Okay, no. So the only way that would be acceptable was if there were also a bunch of little Night Kings running out from the far north, and we'd see dragons versus Night Kings. That's the only way it would make sense. Otherwise, we've just depleted her dragons. We can't just add in new dragons with two episodes to go. It would be fucking stupid. And also, like, oh, it was the only dragon out burning the fields. The other ones were chained up, weren't they? I'm pretty sure they were chained up. And you're like, oh, no. Or maybe, I guess it was before that. Doesn't matter. None of that matters. Like, watch the show. The show doesn't care what happened last season. It's not going to be some big reveal about what happened seasons and seasons ago. Don't you get it? It's over. It's going to end now. We're coming to the end of Game of Thrones. We just said goodbye to Sam forever, and neither of us even mentioned it, because it doesn't fucking matter, and the show's going to be over, and we're all going to go on with our lives, and there's never going to be any more dragons unless it ends with a single dragon egg that Jon Snow has after both the dragon and Daenerys dies.
I would argue that we will see Sam again, because we all know at the end, the very end, the last shot, it's going to be George R. R. Martin playing the character of Sam, now an old man, in as a maester in where the astral globe is or whatever in the Citadel, telling the story of the Game of Thrones that he has dubbed A Song of Ice and Fire. Put it down on Reddit. Give me 1,000 upvotes. That's how the show ends.
I would love that so much if he played old Sam and did that. That would be fantastic. Very much like The Hobbit, and we called it The Fellowship of the Ring or whatever. They kill Miss Andy and the episode's over and they go to church everyone. Is there anything else to say about this scene besides what we've already said?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's an argument that this character, Missandei, since she's one of the few people of color on the show, that she actually represents people of color. So by killing her off, this is kind of a racist act. And also they put her in chains. So the optics are not good. But clearly she's put in chains because Daenerys is the breaker of chains, and Cersei likes the poetry. It rhymes. That's why she has the stupid bow, Joffrey's bow and arrow thing, or whatever you call it, that she wants to kill her brothers, and she's just rubbing it in her face. I get it. I get the argument, but again, this is going back to kind of what we discussed earlier in this episode, kind of putting like modern morals in the show. Not to say that they can't comment on modern things, like that's part of, you know, genre art in general, but also you can't just protect this character, you know, because of what it might mean as far as a person of color. You can argue all the time about representation on the show and what that means, but also you can't protect this character because, as we know with Game of Thrones, everyone's supposed to be fair game. Unless they're battling the Army of the Dead, then you're constantly backed up against the wall and you survive. I don't know. It's an interesting discussion, but I also think it's somewhat unfair. Because this is obviously a very close character to Daenerys, even though they haven't shown it that well. I feel like if they did a better job of, the earlier interactions with Daenerys in Missandei, and it felt like she was more of an advisor and more integral to what she's doing, it would have hit more, but I still got what they were going for.
I mean, yes, she has mainly had scenes with the Grey Worm, and they've been planning how to, like, escape the whole thing and go live on some islands or some shit. So, yes, the connection with Daenerys hasn't seemed as strong. I think there is an argument to be made just because of how prevalent the practice of quote-unquote fridging is as a trope, where you kill off a character basically to cause someone else anguish. Like, they are propelling, they become a stepping stone on someone else's story rather than getting to have a story of their own, which is, you know, something one might argue against in general because it makes characters feel a bit more flat. And then the fact that there isn't that much representation of these types of characters in the show, I think there is an argument to be made there, but I also feel the show would do the same to a lot of other characters. It is kind of coincidental in a weird way that all the Dothraki died, and half died, but no one with a name, and she's dead, and that I can see what the argument is, but that character has, I think the real argument would be that character should have had some more depth to her rather than just be kind of part of a slightly lackluster love story, and that was her main characteristic. I think that's a problem in itself, and that makes things seem a bit flat when it ends with her dying just to propel both Grey Worm and Daenerys into bloody action, though it was cool when she said Dracarys.
Yeah, and I think the problem with like how everyone has to be their own storyteller and, you know, throw around tropey words like fridging, I obviously it, it's worth discussion and it should be brought up. But then it's like, to a certain extent, you could be like, well, you know, friggin' Robb Stark, they fridged him for Jon Snow, you know, or they Catelyn Stark, oh, I can't believe they fridged her for Jon Snow. Like, it's part of storytelling. I mean, the biggest shorthand is to take a close character, and especially a character who's been around a long time, and kill him to be like, all right, now shit's getting real. Because it's also, it's an integral part. Otherwise, if everyone's always just kind of like looking at each other, ready to battle and nothing happens, then where do we go? So yeah, I mean, I know I'm riding the fence here. I just get it from both sides. I get it from either side. I feel like at this point when we're kind of going towards the finish line here, it's a little unfair and a little clickbaity, like, look at me, look at my hot take, but it's still worth the discussion.
Yeah, from the chat, I can't believe they fridged Obi-Wan to develop Luke.
Yeah.
Natasha says it would have been more impactful if Cersei pushed her off like Jaime did Bran. Yeah, I kind of thought that was going to happen. And again, with the visual stuff, it is kind of weird how they staged it, because it feels like Missandei could have just grabbed Cersei and like pulled them both down. Yeah. And maybe that does add some tension to the scene, but it also makes it feel like, ooh, like think of the scene where that Sansa references here, where she's like, you should have let me pull Joffrey to his death or whatever, when they were looking at Ned Stark's head. Like, just the fact that there's a precipice there that they could have been pulled down, it's not like a big fucking city wall. Just the danger, the everyday danger of everything around you, the fact that that's part of the story has made the whole thing feel more realistic, and it feels like we're taking steps away from that, what with people being protected by the plot, and also like, well, it's right there, and if you need to have a scene where Cersei goes up and like touches Missandei and says whatever, then you should also have a scene where Missandei thinks about the fact that she could pull Cersei down, maybe tries it, maybe gets her head chopped off that way. That would maybe have been a weird scene, but the way you chose to stage it, you are disregarding those realities, I feel. Plus, this is kind of a minor quibble, to be honest, but it's something I feel.
Plus, it would have made it more impactful, like, because we've talked about how there have been multiple scenes with Varys and Tyrion, whether it be to each other or to Daenerys, about the plan and what they should do. And if they had more of Missandei like speaking up and saying, like, because to tie it in with her Dracarys last words, where she's just kind of saying like, nah, fuck this, let's go in there, let's roast these motherfuckers, I got an island to go to, or at least showing another side of the argument. And then this kind of putting the exclamation point on her argument where she gives her life for it probably would have been more impactful, in my opinion.
Or if she, during the argument, Daenerys is about to, like, despite all her advisors saying not to, she's about to go and torch the place, and Missandei's the one who says, like, you showed peace to my people and showed them what it means, and, like, you can do that here too, and they will come to believe in you as I will have come to believe in you. And then at the end, when she gets murdered, she's like, fuck them!
Yeah.
Hey, Daenerys, fuck them all! Yeah. And fuck them up for me! Like, that would be kind of a nice change.
No, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I get if the argument was more so around that, and maybe it is. I've only read a few articles on it, and most of the point was just that she's a person of color. And I understand that there are definitely better opportunities for representation, but I just don't feel like the character should be protected because of that. But if there's more arguments just around that, like, to make it more impactful and not feel, like, as cheap to give this character more depth, I think that's a better argument. We should read some of the email we got from Jake. Let's see. Yeah, it's a longer one, but yeah, if you're interested in a little episode 3 talk that does relate to 4 in the series in general, here's what he has to say. I think one of the reasons that the way the Night King was killed left everyone feeling so disappointed was because it went the route of a bad joke, a bad long joke specifically. Think about how a joke works. The longer the setup, the more impactful or powerful or essentially funny the payoff needs to be. We've all listened to someone tell a long story that had no satisfying conclusion and thought, wow, what a waste of fucking time. Not only does this Night King situation have an insanely long build-up, 7 seasons worth of build-up, it also ends in a random way. I've heard some people say that they hinted that Arya would kill the Night King. No, they didn't. I understand what they're saying, but they didn't actually set up Arya killing the Night King. What they set up was a somewhat plausible shocking twist. But if we even want the shocking twist to work, we actually have to make the audience understand, possibly on a subconscious level, but most likely in an overt way, that this is a possible outcome. Every good joke or magic trick or story has you tricked into forgetting what was obvious the whole time. Many movies or jokes or whatever tip their hand at the very beginning, and by the time you get to the end, you forgot that this was a possibility. You smile and think, oh, of course, the thing. It was right there looking at you the whole time. This is not what happened in Episode 3. Episode 3 was a switcheroo random ending to an extremely long buildup. The breadcrumbs they left to show that this was a possibility were not clear enough for the moment to feel right. It was Yoda taking out his lightsaber. In the moment, we all lost our minds, but looking back on it, it was so bizarre. Episode 4 was so wonderful and refreshing simply because it wasn't Episode 3. Cersei is 10 billion times a better villain than the Night King, but that's really mainly because the show decided not to deliver on the Night King. There's no question that the concept of the Night King and the idea of the undead threat is a much bigger situation to deal with than Cersei. But since the show decided that they didn't care about this thing that they'd set up from the get-go, at least they're giving us a villain that is evil, but has motivation and feels like a real threat. How they couldn't do this with the Night King is beyond me. And because of her actions, could come to a much more satisfying conclusion. Given what the show's set up, it's really confusing that she's the final bad guy. But when you decide you'd like a shocking twist rather than deliver on your story, I guess we have to deal with her. It's so weird to have another show start careening out of control like Lost. Very much hoping for an ending that makes sense, one that honors all the setup and makes us go, oh, of course that's what happens. It was right in front of us the whole time.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting take on it. I think there's a lot of fair points about build up breadcrumbs and such, because it is the Arya kill is meant as a shocker. And I think the most important part of this is saying that Cersei's a better villain, but mostly because the show decided not to deliver on the Night King, that, like, they decided, basically, let's deal with the Night King Episode 3, and we'll, like, get to that, and then we'll get to this stuff. And that's a feeling I've had kind of for seasons, where it's like, well, we know the Night King has to have a dragon by the end of the season. How do we do that? Instead of going, what would actually make sense for these characters to do? And that is a very hard way to write, to just go, what would make sense for these characters to do? You might get some very boring, weird stories, but also, on the flip side, going like, okay, well, Episode 5, we know that there's going to be a battle, and Episode 3, there's going to be a battle. Like, that's also kind of painting yourself into a corner with a lot of this stuff. So with all of that in mind, I think they're doing a fairly good job, but I am very much open to crucifying Game of Thrones if need be.
Yeah, it's kind of back to the argument of, like, they've said that George R. R. Martin's kind of revealed to them stuff with the ending. I think it's kind of good that they've said that they're not going to quite go into detail, obviously, for people that are book readers, so there might be still some element of surprise on what they've got from George and what they had to do on their own. But, you know, they had to spend all this time doing setup that wasn't their setup, and now they have to do an end that has to be their own. Yeah, that has to be their own end, but they didn't have quite the same, you know, when you're building your own story, you could be like, well, yeah, this is what I was setting up the whole time, but now you're like, shit, so what were we setting up? Let's look back at what George gave us. Okay, well, I guess this kind of works. So it's a little of both. I think it's completely fair to put their heads on a stake, D&D, murder them, and put their heads out on a stake in front of the White House. But also, and this probably is a thing, I just don't see it as much, but also we need to kind of tear down George R. R. Martin as well, and, you know, put his head on a stake, murder him before he can finish these books. And yeah, like, to Jake's point, I get what he's saying. Yeah, like, Cersei is better because she's not the Night King, but it's also like, and this is, I guess, kind of what he's saying. We're just kind of saying, well, this is what we got, so we better just enjoy it. We better just... Because even, like, Cersei, you know, how much of this season has she been in so far? Like, a couple
she
scenes.
She was upset about the elephants.
Yeah.
She, well, I mean, yes, it's also like Cross Cottonwood says in the chat, even if the show is telling me Cersei's a good villain, I just can't feel it. Like, it's a hard thing taking her seriously because her victories feel contrived. That's something I felt last season as well. And all of a sudden she's a master strategist, and all of a sudden Tyrion is an idiot. And a lot of characters are idiots, as we've discussed, just to kind of make it work out in the right way.
But so then, like, but what if it is what they're setting up here where, you know, okay, Cersei's dispatched and then Daenerys sits on the throne, but then she's just like, wah-ha-ha-ha, finally my throne. And then episode 6 is like, oh, Daenerys is the villain all along. And then are we kind of like, well, Daenerys is a better villain because she's not Cersei, who wasn't the Night King, and she's not Euron, thankfully.
I am interested in what would happen there, because I feel that she would sit on the throne and go like, now everyone, like, not go evil, but like rightfully go, now everyone can come and swear allegiance and we can forget about the whole fighting thing. And then like the North and the Vale, and they're like, oh, you did all these weird things, you killed all these people, and they're not going to be on board with it, even if Jon says so. I don't know. Maybe I feel like something horrible has to happen next episode that Daenerys is involved in that she doesn't necessarily want to do, but does something that turns enough people against her that we get an actual conflict there for the last episode. But what do I know?
Yeah, so Arya kills Daenerys. Jon kills Arya. Then Jon marries Jaime. And then we cut to old Sam, played by George R.R. Martin. And the end.
That's a perfect ending as far as I'm concerned. Now, for everyone listening at home, last two episodes of Game of Thrones are going to be here so fucking quick that we're not even going to do separate episodes on it. So this is basically our last... What?
I mean to cut you off, and I guess we didn't talk about this beforehand. Should we just record, since we can't record together, at least for the podcast feed, should we record a quick, just like a quick take from each of us before we get into the finale?
Dear listener, we will be recording a quick take. We're both going to London. I know, I'm sure you're thrilled to hear about this, but we're going to London for a bit, and that's going to interfere with the whole Game of Thrones thing. We will do a full episode discussing the end of Game of Thrones, but yeah, let's try to do some quick takes as well, just to get something up there on our immediate reactions, because it is kind of tricky. Jim is in Las Vegas, as you may know. I am in Dublin, and we're going to be in one place for the first time since 2012, and we're not going to be able to record, most likely, but yeah, it's going to be fun. And so is the finale of Game of Thrones, I'm hoping. If you want to send in your thoughts, much like Jake and Cross Cottonwood do, email us at showswhatyouknowshow@gmail.com. Feel free to do this after episode 5, after the final episode. We'll be caught up, and we'll be taking your feedback into account when discussing the next two episodes and the end of the Game of Thrones.
Yes, and at the very least, I know, you know, you got everyone ranting and raving, you know, the sky is falling, the D&D ruined it, they ruined my childhood, they fucked it all up, but it's still very exciting, and I think we maybe even said this last week, it's still very exciting that, you know, we're coming down to two episodes, it's still very exciting to see how it all ends, and it's very exciting to get so mad and fucking we'll be so angry, and I'm just looking forward to the rants we have about the ending and how it really was a big waste of 9 years.
I mean, yes, we do enjoy that, don't we, everyone? Like, that is why videos are coming out now, just complaining about the most recent episode, and you do it in a flashy enough way, you get hundreds of thousands of views on there, as we discussed. We're just gonna sit here and talk about it, so that's our bad, but it's also your bad for joining us.
Yes, and yeah, like we said, make sure you're on the podcast feed if you just check out the YouTube, because we will have a couple quick takes and we'll read some emails and a couple last theories going into the final episode. Then we'll be back on YouTube to discuss it all. Thank you, everyone.
That's right. So that's showswhatyouknow.com or showswhatyouknow on your podcast app. Just search it. You'll find it. There's also jimandthem.com for Jim's other podcast. You can find my things at awesomepedia.org. And beyond that, I think there's just one more thing, Jim.
Oh, yeah. Winter is here, or maybe it's over, but winter is here.
Yes.